I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
Steph.
She is huge. Like, this is a big deal, Kevin.
This is exciting. We've been looking forward to having this next conversation. This
I'm super excited.
Well, friends, our next guest recently completed her legendary career as a player in women's field hockey. She is a four-time NCAA national champion and one of the best athletes, male or female, to ever play for the North Carolina Tar Heels. And she is also the brand new head coach of the Carolina women's field hockey team. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Coach Erin Mattson.
Oh, Erin! I'm so excited.
Hello, hello. No, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much. I know we're going to have an amazing talk conversation right now, and hopefully lots of good stories for you.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for saying yes to us, and thank you to the North Carolina Athletic Department as well.
Do you realize you got to talk to the North Carolina Tar Heel Department?
I did, like, and they vetted us, and they approved us having this conversation.
I so love that.
That was huge.
Yes.
So, first off, you have been labeled as the Michael Jordan of college field hockey. And this is where I came across your information, right? You're in Sports Illustrated, and they labeled you as the Michael Jordan of college field hockey.
Okay, I have a question for you. In November of this past year, you won the NCAA tournament. Then you graduated in December, and then January, you became the head coach for this team. So can you tell us a story about how that whole thing happened of you becoming the coach?
The main priority was winning a national championship. All of that was at the front of everyone's mind, including mine. No one had any idea, you know, this would happen. I didn't think, you know, for a long time that I would ever be in this situation. And then we won it, and Coach Shelton announced her retirement and everything. And it was kind of the shift of like, oh, like this, you know, this would be cool. I like enjoy coaching. We'll see. Until like, wait, no, like this would be really cool. Like I want to do this. And like my heart is telling me like go in this direction. So it all happened very quickly. But yeah, I mean, we won. And a couple days after, you know, before we all headed off for winter break, I sat down different groups of the team and was like, I'm applying. And, you know, I had their support right from the start, which is huge. And I'm so grateful for them. And I'm sure we'll get there and talk about that. But it was very much like a boom, boom, boom scenario. And we went through the whole interview process. It was a national search. You mentioned like a broad thank you to the athletic department. But like from me personally, yes, thank you. You know, it was a serious, you know, process and interviews and talking to this person and that. And, you know, we eventually got there and now here we are. And I feel like I'm living the dream.
Okay, let's go back. So you won the national championship. Your coach now tells you, hey guys, I'm retiring. Did she come to you and say, Erin, would you ever think about being a coach? Or were you just like mentally thinking like, maybe I could be the head coach of this team? Like, how did that all transpire?
Yeah, I would be lying if I sat here and told you guys that we won. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this might be a cool thing. Like, I think that would be a red flag anyway, you know, like it's definitely, you know, it's been in my mind for longer than just, yes, this past December. Right. But I think that was partially my responsibility, one, as a student athlete, but two, as a captain on the team. If I just take it day by day and do what I'm supposed to do, take care of my job, simplify my life, everything will fall into place, right? Same thing. If I can just score the next goal, that's great. And then, you know, the accolades will come after that. But it's the same mindset of I'm not even thinking about that, because if I just take care of my business in that given moment, everything else will fall. And it was kind of just, we're just going to go out there and win and go out on a high and then see what's next.
So they did a national search and the AD calls you up, has you come into the offices to share the information. How nervous were you going over to the complex and like, oh my gosh, this could be it, right?
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
Sure. And not even related to this, but this is why I love podcasts, because it is telling story. And that's why I think you guys, it's amazing. It's a perfect name, everything. Because it, one, like, I love storytelling, and I'm sure that's why you guys are here too, but I get to relive these moments. It's so fun.
Yes.
So basically it was a national search, first round, or at least when the application was open, typical cover letter, resume, list of references and all of that. Then I get the phone call. Okay, you've made it to the next round, which is an interview on Zoom with the hiring committee. So I was up during winter break visiting my boyfriend. He lives in Connecticut. So went to his mom's office. You know, my parents were, you know, on the phone with me every day. We were preparing. I had my plans and this and that and everything. Made it through that round. And they were like, come back down to Chapel Hill. I was like, sure, great. Another excuse, like, to come back always. Had a day full of interviews with, you know, the hiring committee, the executive team, here at Carolina, a panel of head coaches. So that was a long day. And then the day after that or two, my boyfriend was in town. My mom was on her way down. We were staying at the Rizzo Center here in Chapel Hill. And it got to be like 9:30 at night. So my boyfriend Ben and I were literally like ready to watch a movie. And we were in like the robes, you know, that you get at hotels, like totally like chill mode, like not expecting, like it's 9:30. I guess I won't hear for another 24 hours, right? Like not in the mindset to get a text from Bubba Cunningham. And my phone pings and it's like, hey, please come in at 9 a.m. tomorrow or something. And I'm like, is this a good text? Is this a bad text? Like, yes. What does this mean? Am I the first one? Does that mean I'm a yes? Does that mean I'm a no? Like what? Like figuring out all of the different scenarios it could have been. And then of course, like you can't go to bed because you're just so anxious. So get up in the morning, get ready. He drops me off. And he was going to go take the car and like run errands or something, but he was too nervous too while I was in there. So I came out and I was like, hey, I'm finished, like whatever, waiting for him to tell him the news. And he was still parked there. Like,
aww.
I think he sensed it because I, like, obviously after Bubba presented me with everything, I texted him and it wasn't like a one word text. Like I guess I seemed excited. So I'm walking out of the building and you just see him in the parking lot, like, get out of the car and go, yes. He just knew. But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was a great conversation with Bubba in there. And yeah, I mean, there's nothing that I'll ever replicate, you know, him like sliding the paper, being like, I'm offering you this position, and hearing those words and feeling that.
Were you like, let me think about it. Let me sleep on it for a night and get back with you. Let me look at the offer first. Right.
Yeah, like... no, definitely. I was like, yes.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. What was your first practice like as a coach instead of a player?
Yes.
That's a good one, actually. I haven't been asked that. I mean, and it kind of piggybacks off of like what I first said to the team when I was introduced and met them. It's different, right? And it's unique, but it's not weird. They are a bunch of blessings. And one day I'll be able to look them in the eyes and I'll tell them that. When I'm not telling them, you know, to like get on the line and like pick it up and stuff. But it was pretty amazing. And it's also weird because it's hard to separate it, if that makes sense, because it's such a familiar space, but it's still yet so different and fascinating and fun to figure out. But like, they know who I am. They know what I expect. They know I was a vocal leader on the team, even with a player jersey on. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily anything too foreign, but it was more just like, okay, we'll figure this out. And this is amazing and exciting, but like, I need to go run over here now instead of going and getting water, like stuff like that.
I guarantee you handled it better than I would, because I would literally show up to practice and be like, ladies, some things are about to change around here, right? I know we're friends. I know some of you have been my roommates, but some things are about to change. address me as coach, please, at all times.
Yeah, yes.
So any awkward moments at all, like even addressing you as coach or anything like that, Erin, in that this first practice?
Honestly, no. And that's what is hard to explain, because it's such an interesting dynamic where we are so comfortable with each other, but we are so respectful of each other. There is like no awkwardness. It's really remarkable. And I hope one day, you know, I'll be able to reflect on it and like explain it better. But I mean, even the like awkward conversation of like, hey, do we refer to you as Erin or coach? Like the girl who said it with a smile. We all laughed. And I was like, guys, me coming in asking for you to call me coach would make it even weirder. Call me Erin. We can worry about that in a couple years when my roommates aren't on the team, you know? And like, I don't know. It's just so natural. And like, I'll go in the locker room and hang out on our couches with them. And we'll check in with each other about like, how do you guys feel? What's going on? How are exams? But it's not weird. I don't know.
That's amazing.
So your first practice, how hard was it for you to be coach and not athlete?
Not be playing?
Yes.
Well, I haven't really hit the mark yet, because I know it'll come and it's fine, but I still get enough of a taste of like playing, and I mean, the field's right there. So when I need a brain break, or when I, you know, want to just go out with the girls or something, it's right there. I can walk out of my office. So I still get a taste of it, but like, I'm sure one day it'll come where I'm like, I finally hit the mark of like, wow, I really miss it. And I'm lucky where I don't need to like leave the sport, leave Carolina. Like this is, it's heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you gone on any recruiting trips yet?
I haven't.
Do you have any good recruiting stories from just the past few months that you've been on there? Because we've talked to Jim Tressel and Coach Greg Schiano, who's head football coach at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. They had some good recruiting stories. Now, granted, they had more than 3 months on the job as well. So do you have any good stories yet of recruiting trips?
Well, I don't know. You can tell me if they're good stories, but it's funny seeing how much the younger generation and like the recruits we're recruiting right now love fashion, and like how that like plays a part with like Jordans I wear,
or
like and like Lulu or Nike. Like it's so funny because you just see them staring, and then I like wear like a national championship sweatshirt and they're like, hey, I like your sweatshirt. And I'm like, hi, I actually can't talk to you due to NCAA rules. Bye. You know, like it's on repeat. So I guess the downside of it is that I have such a great connection with that younger generation just through social media and, you know, me being a player for so long in Carolina, having so much success, where it's part of the reason I love what I've done for 5 years and what I do now. When girls want like, hey, can we take photos? Hey, do you mind signing this? And I literally have to recite, unfortunately, I can't talk to you due to NCAA regulations.
Really? You can't even say hi to it. You can't like,
give an autograph.
You can't give an autograph.
No, I can't. I can't.
What?
I can't even. The craziest thing is, and it's so unique, but I can't talk to other current student athletes on other teams, right? Like hockey teams, which is different for me because my entire age group, all of my friends, I have friends from club who play for Syracuse, BC. So they're texting me, congrats when I get the job, where they text me, hey, what's going on? I can't respond. I can't talk to them because it's tampering. Like I could get, you know, in trouble for that. So it's just, it's really so interesting figuring out all the rules. And it's like, yeah, like, hey, I can like talk to you when you graduate, but I can't say that to them. Like, right. So it's so different. And that plays a role in the recruiting realm, right? Because I have to be so careful. And Carolina has a target on our backs because we've been successful. So everyone's watching. Everyone has me. You know, I got to be careful. But it's also, again, it's all part of the puzzle.
Yes.
The only other funny story I thought of is, like, I drove my first rental car.
Okay.
So that was a huge thing when I got the job. And you have, like, all the haters on Twitter. You know, you're always going to have them.
They're just saying you're not old enough to drive a rental car. Okay.
I get like tweets and Instagram comments. She's not even old enough to rent a car. And it's like, actually, with our state policy with UNC, I could rent a car when I'm 18. So I am old enough. So I literally like did my little enterprise thing, got the keys, drove my car. And I was like, this is so amazing. Like it wasn't, again, a foreign experience that I wouldn't have, you know, had to experience if it wasn't for a recruiting trip. So it's just so funny.
She's feeling like an adult.
Yeah.
But Erin, I thought it was very funny when you said the younger generation. Because when I was researching you, I didn't cringe, but I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how young you are.
I know.
Because this is episode 172. Steph, she's the youngest person we've ever talked to.
Aww.
Are you ready for this? Her birthday, she just had a birthday last month. Mm-hmm. It's March 2000.
Aww.
Her high school class was 2018, Steph.
Dang it.
So, and then another record, Aaron. You're the youngest person on Tell Us a Good Story. Yes,
Aaron.
Congratulations. So,
oh, no.
But I was looking at this like, oh my gosh, we're old enough to be her dad
That's
or her parents.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to mm-hmm. let people know what they've done, what they've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of these. Okay. So, I've got a list of fun facts about you, and you're going to see Steph's genuine reaction here.
Okay.
First off, Aaron, have you read your bio lately? Because when I'm reading this, it actually sounds like it's made up.
Okay.
Because of how,
is this bio
how next
like
level this
at
is.
At North stuff. Carolina bio?
Just wait.
Okay.
Just wait. Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, Aaron. Okay?
Okay. I will.
All right, Steph. First fun fact. Aaron started playing field hockey at the age of 6. She developed so fast that she made the U.S. Women's National Indoor Team at age 13.
What?
She was playing with women who were as old as 30, and she was 13.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
So Aaron, what was it like? You're in seventh grade. You have teammates who are probably talking about having children, right? So what was it like playing on that type of team at that age? And how did they treat you?
Yeah, I mean, field hockey wise, right? I think that's part of the reason why I was able to play at the level I played at, because I was surrounded by fully developed women who were faster, stronger, you know, their minds were sharper. So I naturally had to adapt. I had to step it up and play with them and play at a higher speed. So I think that helped me, of course. And then off of the field, I had to learn how to fuel myself right. I had to learn how to be on time to things. I had to learn how to manage traveling and submitting my science paper. You know, like I had to learn those things. But yes, very different when, you know, you're sitting at the table in Argentina and this one's talking about their wedding plans and I'm, you know, doing my multiplication tables and algebra. Like, you know, it's different. But at the same time, like, you just adapt and you do it. And as long as you're playing well, no one cares.
All right, Steph, next fun fact. During her time as a Tar Heel, Aaron played on 4 national championship teams and 5 ACC championship teams. Okay, so with the COVID year, Aaron was able to play 5 seasons and won 4 national championships. During those 4 national championship seasons, how many games do you think Aaron's team lost?
None.
You're close.
I mean, I was thinking high.
I like that answer.
Right?
One.
Wow.
One. In those 4 seasons, her team went 86-1.
What?
What? Who was the one lost to, Aaron? I'm guaranteeing you probably did.
Don't make me relive it.
Steph, it was the second game of the season, and then they rattled off 18 in a row to win the national title, and then finished 99-8 in her career there at North Carolina.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, so where are your rings at then? Do you ever wear them?
So it's funny you say that. So we have a good amount of rings, which we like, but there's like, normally we do the smaller one, the ACC, which is more like every day. It's not, this is my class ring, but it's like this size, you know, it looks like a piece of jewelry. And then the natty one, of course, is like the big diamond, yes, shiny in your face. They're at home right now, because I obviously moved back down here and figured, you know, I don't need them for the time being. They can stay safe. It's been cool seeing, you know, the groups of seniors over the years and how the rings look so different. And then, of course, last year we were the ones designing them and everything together. So we're delivering them in preseason this upcoming August. So the girls don't have them yet. But it's really cool to be able to design them. But it also got hard because we won so often and you want all of them to be different, right?
Oh.
So, I mean, we joke around here, like we are spoiled and we spoil the girls, but we deserve it. So they deserve it more than anything. So, but I'll have to show that to you.
Yes. Such a tough problem, I'm sure.
I have
so much jewelry.
Oh, shoot.
It's hard to be creative enough to be able to distinguish them. Steph, if I were Aaron, though, I'd be wearing those things all the time. I'd have my wedding, wedding band on, and then four national championship rings on my hand at all times. I don't think I would take them off. Next fun fact. Aaron was a three-time recipient of the Honda Sport Award for field hockey, becoming just the second player ever to do that.
So what is the Honda Sport Award?
Basically, she won the Heisman Trophy three times.
Oh my God, really?
In field hockey. That's essentially what happened here. I told you, this bio is ridiculous. Like, it sounds like it's made up.
Uh-huh.
It is that good. So she basically won the Heisman Trophy three times. It's only happened one other time, which was with her prior coach at UNC, Coach Karen Shelton. They're the only individuals to win that trophy three times.
That's incredible.
So, is it true that your coach at UNC, she was planning to retire in 2018 and then changed her mind after you committed to play for the Tar Heels? Is that true? She completely changed her retirement plans.
I don't know if that's true. I've never asked her. We knew kind of it was a possibility every year because, like, she's been around for so long. She did so much. She deserves, you know, to kick her feet up and do what she wants. Like, she could have, she earned every right to do that. But I think it, you know, she's like me, we're very similar when it comes to it. And I think she's competitive and she's never satisfied. So she, you know, didn't want to leave. We were doing so well. And she had trust in us to continue that. So I don't know if she necessarily changed her retirement plans, but I'm very happy she stuck around.
All right. Let me keep bragging on Aaron here. She finished her playing career as the all-time scoring leader in ACC history and NCAA tournament play. All right. In 2021, she was named by the ACC Network as one of the top 10 female athletes in history.
That does not surprise me.
And the only student athlete to ever, in any sport, to earn ACC Player of the Year award five times. In any sport.
Wow.
So, Aaron, I just want to volunteer my services. If you need help on writing any of your Hall of Fame induction speeches,
No.
I will gladly assist you in that. But do you have a favorite memory then off the field at North Carolina? Do you have any good stories, whether it's something in the locker room, some experience traveling with the team?
Ooh, that's another good question that I've never been asked before. I would say off the field. I mean, it's hard to pick the ones around Chapel Hill because we really are so close and it's been remarkable for 5 years, right? But like even just, you know, going to Chick-fil-A on Wednesdays when there's the student discount or, you know, sitting on the roof when you're done with spring and just enjoying, you know, staying up late with your teammates and your friends. Like it's all of those things are just amazing to look back on. And it's funny now because I'm the one in the stands, you know, looking out and seeing freshmen and sophomores enjoying the field at night, playing spike ball out there. And I'm like, and it makes me think back to all of those memories and the fun times we had that just make college what it is, right? So the two trips we chartered after we won at Louisville, we chartered back to Chapel Hill. And we're very fortunate for that. And then this past year we did as well. And I mean, there's nothing like the celebrations after a natty and how excited everyone is. And we take so much pride in our alumni network and our families and our parent group and having them there to celebrate with. And then, you know, something that, you know, we are so grateful for the university and the donors for providing an experience like that for us, because flying home with the natty trophy in the seat next to you, singing, you know, the song blaring on the speaker with your hat and your shirt on, when it's literally just the group of people that you just want to be with in that moment, there's nothing like it. And I don't know which natty like ranks highest or anything, and they're all different and special, but the, you know, moments when the clock winds down and you go and just hug the first person you see, it gives me chills thinking about.
Kevin, did you know the two things I love to do is eat and support small businesses?
That is correct.
And Snacks with a Twist checks both boxes.
From specialty pretzels to sweet treats like peanut butter bark and our kids' favorite Buckeye marshmallow pops, this store is a one-stop shop for snacks, treats, and gifts.
You guys will not be disappointed with anything you purchase, and they will ship it to your doorstep. They are a proud sponsor of Tell Us a Good Story. So I'm sure you have so many North Carolina clothes, right? Like you have so many.
Probably your whole
wardrobe.
Wardrobe, yes.
So when they gave you the coaching position. Did they then give you a closet full of coaching gear? How did that work?
Air Jordan shoes to go with it?
No, I'm sure they probably imagined that I had enough, which I do. But obviously Nike's amazing, right? Like as being a coach, we get, you know, a certain number of credit, I guess we can use because Nike treats us so well as a university and we want to represent them and be loyal to them. And they make nice clothes, right? And like you said, like how many different variations can you put an interlocking NC on a shirt? But like somehow you need more of them. And like, I mean, that's what's fun too. Like I really do enjoy the looking good part of it and definitely went on a shopping spree. And it's fun like to have like my little Carolina blue section of my closet. And it's literally the only stuff I wear every day now. But the team loves it. I love it. I go over to student stores, you know, like no one, it's funny because not a lot of athletes or anyone normally like has to go and shop for stuff because we're, again, like the university does such a good job and Nike does such a good job of providing for us. So I go over and I show up to practice in this new sweatshirt and they're like, where'd you get that? I'm like, guys, student stores, like it's the, it's the hack, like go. But it's a really fun part of it. And obviously the university takes pride in how well we look and we have beautiful colors, you know, yes. Chapel Hill, easy to brand and market yes. and everything. So it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So final fun fact. All right. 17 days after winning their national championship, Aaron's former coach, Coach Karen Shelton, announced her retirement. She left as the winningest coach in the history of the sport, mm-hmm. including 10 national championships. So Aaron here obviously has some big shoes to fill.
Uh-huh.
But what is next? You just finished spring practice. What is next for you from a coaching perspective and even playing, right? Is your playing career done? What's next for you, Aaron?
Well, yeah, for me, the door is not closed. It's not open. You know, it's kind of like that where there's still that possibility, but I am very much a person that I want to put all of my energy here and the team, the program, the university deserves that. So I need to dedicate my time, my attention to Carolina. And I genuinely want to do that. But, you know, it's not necessarily like a hard decision needs to be made. Right now, I still work out. I still stay in shape. The girls are like, Aaron, like, how are you? Like, I ran with them the other day. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, guys, I still work out. What do you mean? Like, I just wake up earlier and do it. But like, the door is definitely not closed. When it comes to the program, the more exciting part of it, obviously, recruiting will be fun this summer. The only recruiting trips we talked about earlier were indoor. So you okay. see a little bit of a player, but it's a totally different game. So this summer will be great to get some true outdoor competition and see players in the environment they're going to be like in college. So that'll be fun. But I mean, what motivates me at the end of the day has always been and will always be winning and being the best head coach I can be. So obviously winning is at the forefront of my mind. It's everything. Recruiting and winning is everything. It's at the core. So that's kind of the stage we're at right now. But obviously, you know, if we're not hoisting that trophy in the air at the end of the fall, we did something wrong. And that's just the nature of it and the standards that we hold here. So definitely staying motivated with that and not ever settling because 4 out of 5, you know, is good, but we'll try to keep it going.
Well, listeners, for more information about Coach Mattson, you can follow her on Instagram at @Aaron_Mattson and Twitter at @AaronMattsonN. Also, her website is AaronMattson1.com, and we'll put all of these links in our show notes. You can just click right on it and get her contact information. Well, Aaron, fantastic.
Oh, we're so happy for you.
I'll tell you what,
you.
We are Carolina field hockey fans now.
Oh,
that's for sure.
We need gear.
We do need to get some gear.
We need to get some gear.
We do.
No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
But no, good luck to you.
Yes.
As you train,
so excited for
getting
you.
More jewelry, and start your coaching career here. That's fantastic. But thank you so much for saying yes to us. You're amazing.
Thank you. No, I really appreciate it. This was great. You guys are great. So easy to talk to. And I love telling stories. So
thanks, Aaron.
Waiting. If you ever can make it to a game, I'd love to meet you in person. But this was amazing. And hopefully maybe down the road when things go well, I'll be back on and talk again. But I really appreciate it. So
We would love that. Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.